picture finishing this massive $50 million commercial high-rise.
Right.
Everything looks absolutely perfect.
Yeah, until the electrical inspector shows up.
Exactly. They go down to the basement, take one look at the main power panels, and just halt the entire project.
And it almost always comes down to the paperwork. I mean, the documentation on the UL-891 switchboards basically failed to prove they could survive the building's worst-case scenarios.
Right. So welcome to today's deep dive, where we're unpacking the really dense engineering standard behind these critical systems.
We are specifically looking at dead front switchboards rated at 10,000 volts or less, which, you know, just means all the energized live parts are safely sealed behind a solid panel.
Yeah, keeping the operator standing in front of it safe. And our mission today is to decode how these highly engineered metal structures actually keep a facility from going dark or, well, catching fire.
It's a huge job.
It is. I mean, the best way I can visualize a UL-891 switchboard is like a building's electrical traffic cop. It takes this massive, just chaotic influx of raw power from the grid and actively organizes it into save lanes for every tenant, elevator, you name it.
But, I mean, a traffic cop is only effective if they don't get crushed by a 10-car pileup.
Right. That would be bad.
Very bad. And electrically speaking, that pileup is a catastrophic fault. Like, if a short circuit happens, a massive surge of current hits the board all at once.
Which is why the local inspector, the authority, having jurisdiction, or AHJ, is so incredibly strict about this stuff.
Exactly. They demand absolute proof that the assembly's short circuit current rating, the SECR, actually matches the maximum fault current that the site's grid can physically deliver.
Okay, wait, so this is where I always get kind of confused reading the specs. If I'm installing, you know, top-tier circuit breakers that handle massive faults, why does the actual metal box need its own rating?
That's a super common question.
Right, because aren't the breakers doing all the heavy lifting by tripping?
Well, no. The breaker has an interrupting rating, which really just means the switch itself won't weld shut when it breaks the circuit.
Oh, okay.
But the SECR belongs to the entire physical structure. When a massive fault hits, the sheer volume of electricity creates these violent magnetic fields inside the box.
Wait, magnetic fields inside the panel?
Oh, yeah. And they are strong. These magnetic forces literally repel the internal copper bus bars away from each other. We are talking thousands of pounds of force.
Wow, just from the electricity.
Exactly. So if the bracing and the enclosure aren't engineered for that specific physical stress, the whole internal structure will just warp or tear itself apart in the milliseconds before the breaker even trips.
That is wild. Okay, so surviving that magnetic violence is the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But looking at these case studies, a switchboard's actual day-to-day battle is really just fighting off heat and dirt, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Most failures actually come from heat buildup caused by, like, overloaded neutrals or loose connection lugs.
And people get so caught up arguing over busbar materials. I mean, copper gives you better conductivity and saves space, while aluminum is way cheaper and lighter.
Right, but neither material is going to stop a bad joint from overheating.
It's like buying premium racing tires, but totally forgetting to tighten the lug nuts.
That is a perfect analogy. If the physical connection isn't torqued down right, electrical resistance goes up at that joint.
And resistance creates heat.
Exactly. Heat degrades the connection even more, and eventually you get a full meltdown. Which is why strict torque values and routine infrared camera inspections are what actually prevent downtime.
Plus, the physical environment totally dictates those design choices, too. Like in a heavy industrial plant, you might have this massive 2,500 kVA transformer sitting right next to the board.
Stepping down the extremely high grid voltage to usable plant voltage, yeah.
Right, but the air in that plant is just filled with conductive dust and oil mist. So a high SECR is completely useless if a layer of conductive dust settles across the bus bars and causes a short.
Which is exactly why they have to use a sealed NEMA 12 enclosure in those spots. It uses specialized gaskets to completely lock out all those airborne contaminants.
But that brings up a huge problem. Because these boards power critical facilities like hospitals and data centers, you can't exactly pull the plug on the whole building just to open a sealed enclosure and tighten those figurative lug nuts.
No, you definitely cannot.
It'd be like trying to repair a commercial plane engine mid-flight. So how do you physically service something that cannot be turned off?
You have to apply maintainability engineering. So taking a data center as an example, engineers will design a main tie main configuration.
Okay, break that down for us.
Sure. You have two separate utility power sources feeding two separate isolated halves of the switchboard. And right in the middle, there's a tiebreaker.
Oh, I see. So under normal conditions, they operate independently. But for maintenance, you've just closed that tiebreaker to bridge the two halves together.
Exactly. One utility source can now feed the entire board. That allows you to completely de-energize the other half and actually work on it safely.
That isolated service zone really is a lifesaver for maintenance crews.
It absolutely is. Though, it is super vital to note that while a good UL891 layout lowers worker exposure to live parts, it is fundamentally not arc-resistant switchgear.
Right. It isn't designed to contain and redirect the explosive energy of an arc flash away from an operator.
No. That requires entirely different structural designs. So strict safety protocols, remote operation, and physical barriers are still 100% mandatory.
For sure. So, bringing it all together for you listening at home, a UL label alone doesn't fix a bad electrical diagram.
Not at all.
True safety comes from anticipating the physical realities of the site, matching the fault current, the continuous load, and the environment long before a single piece of steel is cut. Next time you're standing in a high-rise lobby, you can definitely appreciate the highly engineered section systems keeping the lights on and the inspectors happy.
It really is a profound feat of applied physics just hidden right behind the drywall.
It really is. And we'll leave you with this to ponder. As commercial buildings increasingly generate their own decentralized power, like think localized solar grids and massive battery storage systems, how will the traditional centralized logic of these switchboards have to evolve?
That's a great question.
When that electrical traffic cop is suddenly managing constant two-way power flow instead of just a one-way street, how do we redesign the intersection?